Tonight, I'll be proclaiming God's word to you from the last four verses of our reading, and I'll read those out again. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. A lot of the media that we come across today is pretty violent, be that movies, TV or Netflix programs. They sometimes show graphic, violent scenes. But sometimes even more harrowing are the depictions of psychological torment or trauma. In these verses that we just heard, both physical and psychological torment are depicted, which would rival anything that you could see on a screen. Jesus is subjected to the worst type of physical torture imaginable. But then, he is subjected to some of the cruelest psychological torment, hung naked on a cross, on a public road for all to see. In these verses, the psychological pain really comes to the forefront. Not only is he naked and weak in a public space, but the public show him no mercy while he is in that state. Instead, what he receives is mockery. Psalm 22, which we just prayed, Jesus would later pray from the cross. Verse 7 says, "All who see me mock me." Everyone who saw Jesus mocked him. The priests and the scribes mocked Jesus. They saw him as their enemy, a threat to their power. They saw this wretched sight of a half-dead man on a cross and thought, "Good, we've got him now, we've won. He can't threaten us anymore." And everything that the people have been saying about him, about his great miracles, that must all be hearsay. Those being executed alongside Jesus mocked him too. And even the everyday man or woman on the street, people like you and I, they mocked him too. They used the words, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Then the priests and the scribes, they said, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ or Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." The one everyone thought would be the big hero is now half dead. How can he save anyone if he cannot save himself? All who saw him mocked him. Would we have been any different to those people? It wasn't just the self-righteous priests and scribes who mocked him. It wasn't just the immoral, antisocial criminals punished beside him for their sins, for their crimes. But our text says, those who passed by, they were also in on the act. They were people just like any of us, from the highest in society to the lowest. All who saw him mocked him. Why was this the case? And would we have been any different? Well, the sin that caused each one of these people to mock Jesus is not limited, as we've seen, to a certain type of person. Not just the poor, or just the rich, or just the powerful, or criminals, or whoever else. The sin is the same sin that clings to each one of us. This sin sees Jesus dying and says, "This must be the end." It does not believe all that he had promised. Our sin causes us not to believe that he can save us, and especially not like that. We want to see power and strength in our leaders, not weakness. So we look in all the wrong places. We trust in our money, our influence, or some political leader to save us when times get tough. Our sinful flesh doesn't want to believe in a saviour who is publicly humiliated and dies on a cross. What type of saviour is that? Let's go back and look at these words of Jesus used against him again. Are they true? Although they are said in a sarcastic way, Jesus' mockers are actually telling the truth, maybe without realizing it. He did say that he would tear down the temple and raise it again in 3 days, but that's exactly what's happening right in front of them. Of course, the temple, that is Jesus' body, is being destroyed. They said he saved others. He cannot save himself. But on the cross, he was saving others by the very fact that he chose not to save himself. Jesus had the power to save himself, of course. He had healed people with all sorts of ailments. He had even raised the dead. And once again, he was putting the needs of others before his very real, very human, and very painful needs. And this is because it was his mission to die. His suffering, humiliation, and death, through this, he was saving. He was dying for the pompous priests and scribes even for those criminals close by, and for the masses, the passers-by on the street, for all. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends, we read in John. He even treated those who mocked him during the worst time of his life as friends. And he's a friend to us as well, the ones who also probably would have mocked. Those of us who find it hard to believe in a suffering, weak saviour too. For those of us who have looked elsewhere for our help. For these and for every other sin, he died. From the most well-respected among us, like the priests, to the least, to the criminals. He died for all of you. His love for you is far greater even than his need to end the terrible suffering and terrible mockery. And even greater than the need or urge to show righteous anger toward those who mocked him. He could have come down from the cross. He chose to stay there and suffer it all for you. The priests thought that if Jesus was telling the truth about who he was, he would come down from the cross. Let us see this and believe it, they said. Let us see it and believe Jesus. Not by seeing him come down from the cross, no. Not like the priests and scribes sarcastically had suggested, but by seeing him up there dying on the cross for you. And let us see him now, not just on the cross 2,000 years ago, let us see him when we receive the word of forgiveness, his word. When on Sunday we receive his body and blood, let us see and believe. You can be so sure that his forgiveness is for real. Just as sure as you get that piece of bread stuck in your teeth at communion time, that's how real it is. That's how real his forgiveness is. In his humiliation, he did not save himself, but he saved you. He suffered it all for you. That's how great his love is. Now, God bless you as you continue on your Lenten journey towards our loving, suffering Saviour. Amen.